Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking chelada, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Facebook.com/IssuesETC.
Rosh Hashanah marks the start of a new year, a time of humble prayer, joyful celebration, and hope for a new beginning.
We know there is more that unites peoples of faith than divides us. So as Ramadan draws to a close, let us hold on to that spirit of community throughout the year.
Here you have a global organization that is spiritual and yet will bring together Muslims, Jews, Christians, and say, look, we all agree that there's some good big thing out there, but we're not going to put a label on it. Let's worship together.
In our culture, we have a three-headed monster, what I call the unholy trinity: pluralism, relativism, and universalism.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues Etc.
Many Christians know the name Jerome. They may not know who he was, what he did. By those more knowledgeable, he's strongly associated for some reason with the Western Church, with the Latin-speaking Church. Now, there's a reason for that. He actually translated the Old and New Testaments into Latin, the language of the day. It's called the Vulgate. But he spent more of his time learning and living and working in the eastern part of the church. We're going to talk about late 4th century, early 5th century translator, scholar, and theologian Jerome here in the first 10 minutes of this hour of Issues Etc. This Wednesday afternoon, September the 30th, I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll talk about St. Jerome with Pastor Heath Curtis, and then we'll have a discussion on crisis pregnancy centers with Dr. Maura Gall of the Family Research Council. We'll conclude today's show talking to Terry Mattingly of Scripps Howard News Service about several things. The ELCA just approved of homosexual marriage, but they got a problem with monogamy. We'll talk about Christians and anger, and Terry's a little irritated by the media's use of the term devout when it's applied to Christians. That's coming up later in the hour. You can join us as well, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at @IssuesETC. Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. Pastor, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to be here as always.
Why did Jerome think it necessary to translate the Old and New Testaments from their original language into the language of the day?
Well, it's interesting that the whole problem that Jerome encountered was one that's actually very familiar to us, as Jerome was a native Latin speaker and worked in the western half of the Roman Empire, where Latin was the first language of the people. Educated folks spoke Greek still. But the average ordinary person, his first language was Latin, and he maybe didn't have a second language. And so it was necessary for him actually he started just updating the Latin translations that were out there and became kind of disgusted with how bad it was. And so then he went back to the Greek of the New Testament to make a new translation. And then made the step of really immersing himself in Hebrew and learning that language and then translating the Old Testament. And so it was for the same reason that people make translations today, so that the average ordinary person would have access to the Scriptures.
Now, how would you evaluate his translation? I think some people, because it's associated with its use in the Western Church, medieval Roman Catholicism, yada, mm-hmm. yada, for some reason find it suspect.
Yeah, that's too bad, because, I mean, it's a monumental work of not only of piety but of scholarship, and really both those things, both piety and scholarship. Jerome included prologues to each book of the Bible, and that's a tradition that Luther followed when he put the Scriptures into German. And those have a lot to say about how to interpret the Scriptures. And many of them are quite evangelical and quite good. We need to remember that Jerome, one of the big battles going on in the church in his lifetime, was the battle against Pelagius, That's that guy from Britain who is saying that we're saved by our works. And so there are a lot of great quotes in the Book of Concord that, that draw on Jerome's battle against the Pelagians, where, I mean, those statements could fit right into any Lutheran Reformation Day sermon. And so the work itself, the Vulgate itself, is an amazing work. Luther leaned on it heavily to translate the scriptures into German. The translators of the King James Version into English leaned on it heavily to explain, you know, especially difficult passages in the Hebrew text. It's an enduring and amazing work.
One thing I remember learning in seminary that recommended the Vulgate as a translation was that it is in the case, especially in the case of its translation from the Greek, it is translating from one very grammatically precise language to another very grammatically very precise language. It's a good touchstone for a proper kind of reading of the original language. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Latin and Greek share very similar grammatical structures, and so yeah, if you are a pastor, you know, working on your Sunday morning sermon, and there's a knotty passage in the Greek, it's really nice to have Latin to fall back onto, because you can check out what Jerome did with it, and that often offers a lot of insight.
One of the things that Jerome also did, I'd like you to explain why this is so important. Instead of going back to the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the Septuagint, mm-hmm. that dates from several centuries before Christ, instead of going back to that, he went back to the Masoretic text, back to actually the Hebrew of the Old Testament. Why is that important?
Well, it's important, and more than important, it was also very controversial. The Septuagint at that time in the church had about the same status as some Christians put on you guys have done shows on the King James only Christians, right?
Sure.
Yeah, that was kind of where the Septuagint was at this time in the church. And there's a series of famous letters between St. Jerome and St. Augustine, with Augustine arguing very forcefully for what he felt was the tradition of the church, which is, hey, the Septuagint, that's God's word. And Jerome, what are you doing monkeying around with wanting to use the Hebrew text, which we all know is, from Augustine's perspective, which we all know has been corrupted by Jews who reject Christ, and what we need to keep using the Septuagint. And the letters back and forth from them are fascinating. And then Jerome works a lot of that controversy into his prologues. Here, I got to read these first couple lines from, for example, his prologue to Judith, which is a book that was included in the Septuagint, but not in the Masoretic text. And Jerome writes, "Among the Hebrews, the book of Judith is found among the Hagiographa. The authority of it is judged less appropriate. Yet, having been written down in Aramaic words, it is counted among the histories. But because the book is found by the Nicene Council to have been counted among the number of sacred scriptures, I have acquiesced to your request, indeed a demand, and I've translated it." And so a lot of the apocryphal books have these very interesting prefaces by Jerome, and so saying, you know, this book really isn't in the Hebrew Bible. This book is really kind of an add-on, and it's good to read. And that just kind of lingers there for 1,000 years, and everybody's Vulgate. Everybody can read what Jerome had to say, and then it's Luther who actually says, you know what, Jerome was right, and it's Luther who then gathers all those apocryphal books, puts them in their own section between the Old and New Testaments, taking Jerome's advice and showing that separation between the Hebrew scriptures that our Lord would have read in synagogue and the later works that were interesting historically or provide good information but really shouldn't be considered canonical.
Well, then as a follow-up, Jeff in Philadelphia asks, how did Jerome's knowledge of Hebrew affect him since it was a rare trait?
This is certainly one thing, this distinction between the apocryphal books and the Hebrew text. that was something that he learned about as he learned Hebrew and spent most of his adult life in Jerusalem, and also that's one big thing. But the other thing was it introduced the Western Church to a huge font of scriptural study, and that what Jerome also brought back to the West was Origen's Hexapla, and that's a very interesting work. We don't possess all of it, but Origen was like the original Bible scholar, and it's called Hexapla because it had six columns, and it was an evaluation of the Septuagint compared to the Hebrew text, and Jerome made ample use of that and kind of reminded everybody in the Western Church of this great resource. And so how did learning Hebrew affect Jerome? Well, it taught him about the true limits of the canon, and it made him a scholar really not to be equaled in that late antique period.
Then with only about 30 seconds, why should the church today remember, observe the person and work of this late 4th century scholar, Jerome?
He got the ball rolling with serious biblical scholarship combined with a true Christian piety that wanted all the people of God to have the scriptures in a language they can understand.
Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Good to be with you.
When we come back, we're going to spend just a few minutes with Dr. Maura Gall, Director of Women's Reproductive Health for the Family Research Council based in Washington, D.C. Did you know that there are thousands of crisis pregnancy centers? Most of them operating on a nonprofit basis, helping people in the tune of 2 million people a year, women seeking their help, their counsel at a time of pregnancy. And you just don't hear about them that much. Yet they are on the front line in the pro-life movement. We'll talk about crisis pregnancy centers on the other side of the break. Then Terry Mattingly will join us to talk about the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, homosexuality, and monogamy.
The Lutheran Study Bible is the first time in the English language that the Lutheran Church has produced a study Bible to this extent.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Paul McCain, with his thoughts on the new Lutheran Study Bible.
It's entirely from scratch, as I say, using all original content. It will contain features that every Christian will love and cherish. It has what I think is the most important thing of all, a rich devotional quality to it that helps us understand when we are reading the Word of God, we are reading the mind of God and hearing His Word for us, and we respond to Him and pray, praise, and thanksgiving all through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are really excited about this Bible.
You can purchase the new Lutheran Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our homepage, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, the Lutheran Study Bible.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Have you heard of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission? We're deeply involved in providing seminars to build up Christ's church with education and training for the laity. So far, we've held seminars on confessional topics at churches in Minnesota, Utah, Oregon, and Washington, and planning is underway to hold seminars in several other states coast to coast. Visit theclcc.org. Check us out. Get on the mailing list, or better yet, join us. See how your church can host a seminar, too. Go to theclcc.org.